Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Frank Serpico. Frank Serpico has decided to run for the town board in Stuyvesant, New York. So, Frank, after all these years of retirement, you spent part of your time in Europe, part of your time here. What made you decide to run for the town board?
Well, Cynthia, I'm 79 years old, and like any other citizen of that age, you would like to enjoy your retirement in peace and quiet, without, you know, having your home invaded or whatever happens. Some of your listeners may know I got involved with a contractor who demolished my land. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to follow the law and, have him arrested. I did. When the trooper arrived on the location, the trooper said to me, "Where you are?" I said, "I want him arrested. Look what he did to my property." And the defendant says, "You want to do this to me? You want to hurt me like this?" I said, "You hurt my property." He says to the officer, this is a New York State trooper, and he says it in front of me, and I have this on video. He says, "Officer, do you want to take another walk around the property, just me and you?" Now, if that happened in my day, I would have arrested him immediately for attempted bribery. But instead, the so-called trooper turns on me, and he says, "If he or any of his workers see you trespassing, they'll have you arrested." And I said, "What? I called you, he destroys my property, I don't hear the blade of his grass." And he says, "Well, he can't replace those," and he starts making me the victim. So finally, I persist with some other honest officers, and he gets arrested and gets charged with 4 counts of trespassing. And the district attorney, Chaika, informs me that he's going to take the case himself. So I thought, wow, this must be the crime of the century. So I hire a forester from outside the county because no one in the county would work for me. So he comes and he measures and it costs me a few $1,000s. And he says, "I have $8,000 to $10,000 damage," and a part that it was bordering wetlands and floodplain. So I, before this actually happened, I go to the town board and I complain. And Ennis, the supervisor, the guy who's in charge of, I forget what his title is, permits and...
I think it's supervisor.
No, he's not the supervisor. He was like the guy who gives you permits and he tells you where's your property line and whatever.
Okay.
But anyway, he says, "I didn't see anything." Meanwhile, there's 100 trunks laying on the side of the road, what I have pictures of. I come home that night and I get a phone call from one of the board members. And he says to me, "Mr. Serpico, I can get in trouble for this, but why don't you sell Palladino that property that he bulldozed?" And I said, "What are you, crazy? That's his dream come true." He said, "Then why don't you buy the property from him?" I said, "Okay." So I enter, and he wants $59,000. And I said, "I can't believe you paid $59,000 for this." He says, "Look at the view." By this time, he had cut down all the trees. He totally clear-cut the area and then blamed it on Hurricane Irene said that Irene had blown the trees over. You know, it blew a couple of little trees over. And so I enter into negotiations, and I want to leave the property forever wild with Scenic Hudson. And Scenic Hudson says, I can't even accept this property if you don't get a soil sample. This guy is a contractor. You don't know what he's brought in here, if he's brought in toxic waste. So I asked for a soil sample, and we're waiting for me to get the soil sample. And the next thing, this guy Palladino comes in with his bulldozer, and he completely, I don't know what the word to describe, bulldozes this whole cliff, which was his property. But to this day, just yesterday, one of the trees fell over and broke his fence, and the cows ended up on my property because he uprooted all the roots of this wetlands area. So now, the district attorney, I say to him, when am I going to be able to show this evidence to the court? I have this documented evidence, photographs, videotapes. And he says, oh, well, you'll have your chance when we go for the damages hearings. So on the day of the damages hearings, the first thing I notice is my witness is there, the man that I hired. And I say to the district attorney, Chaika, where's my witness? And he says, he won't be needed. And right away, I had this strange feeling that was not good. Then the defendant or the defendant's lawyer has a local tree man who submitted an expired license from 2008. And he says to the court, yeah, I went there and he did him a favor cleaning that up, and maybe $350, $400 for firewood. And at that point, the district attorney Chaika says to the defendant Palladino, Mr. Palladino, do you want to withdraw your guilty plea at this time? And I was dumbfounded. And fortunately, Mr. Palladino said, nah, I pleaded guilty because, and I couldn't hear what he said. And then he comes over and he shakes the district attorney's hand in front of the judge. And then the judge stands up and says, I will go down to the property myself, and then I will determine the damages. And he goes down and he submits his report saying he agrees with the defendant's not taking my expert witness into consideration at all and awards me $350 damages for firewood. Now, that was just the beginning because, first of all, I said to the judge, Your Honor, may I go down with you? And he said, no. Then the defendant said, hey, judge, you'll call me before you go down? And he said, yeah, I'll call you. So now, if you know the legal factors, there was a couple of things that were done there were not legal, and the district attorney did not object. And so I couldn't believe what had happened. I thought, I can't live here anymore. My peace has been disturbed. I can't live here thinking of the corruption in this town. And I was driving through this beautiful area, and we have bald-headed eagles flying overhead. And I pulled to the side of the road, and I often get, when I think, I get inspired, and I started to write. And I wrote, I live in a cabin in the wood, in the bucolic town of Stuyvesant on the Hudson. The town was named after Peter Stuyvesant, the last Dutch governor of New Amsterdam. who said at the time, bald-headed eagles soar overhead, ruby-throated hummingbirds sip nectar in my garden. The town was named after Peter Stuyvesant, the last governor of New Amsterdam, who said at the time, the people are growing wild in their ways and loose in their morals. But that was over 300 years ago. Today, little has changed. As you drive through pastured farmlands and apple orchards, bike through fields of towering corn, the air is sweet with the scent of wildflowers and fresh-cut hay. Yet something somewhere emits a stench, a foul odor of decaying matter, pervasive yet elusive, no doubt emitting from a dead skunk, a rotting carcass, or an open door at the village town hall.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
And so then I got a call from the Democratic caucus, and I don't belong to any party. I read them that, and I just recited it by memory because it's in my mind now. And I said, I'm out of here. While I still have breath in me, I have to find a place, my last resting place. It is not here. And they said, no, you stay and Ron will nominate you, and please, no, and think about it. And I said, well, if I'm going to leave anyway, I felt exactly the way I felt over 40 years ago when I uncovered corruption in the New York City Police Department, and I thought, I can't live like this. This is not what I became a cop for. I'm going to leave. And then I thought, but before I leave, I'm going to see what I can do. And it took me 5 years before the New York Times, one journalist, had the backbone to print a story that made history. And now I find me here on a small scale. What's happening here is happening all over the country. I am now getting mail from all over the country saying, go, Serpico, go. Because I represent the voice of the voiceless. Because in these little towns, in politics, there is no oversight. And they rule by a law all their own. And right now, I got in not for me. I don't care one way or the other. I cannot do anything alone. We need leaders that will support us. And so I'm supporting Ken Golden for district attorney against Chaika, because Chaika, his people, they are so pathetic. Apart from what he's done, you could read if you Google Chaika complaints. They are tearing down the opponent's signs, which is a crime. But if you complain to the election board, they say you have to catch him doing it and then call the police. But all I know is put the signs up personally myself, and then they're gone, and Chaika's signs are in place. So this is the way they play, dirty, immature politics. So getting into politics, to me, has been another insight into the way we live. And it is not a good insight. And I don't, as I said, represent any party, and that is the problem in America. We have these parties, and people belong to one party or another, and they just vote their party. They would vote for the devil himself if the party told them to do that. And I try to tell people, I say, look, I'm not doing this for me. There's nothing in it for me. I'm doing this for you, for the communities, for the country, to try and make this a better place. This can be an icon for the country where tourists would come. They drive for hundreds of miles to go to see bald-headed eagles in different states. You know, this we could have a tourist trade. We could have cafes. Like in Hudson, they have all these restaurants and cafes and, you know, and preserve nature. Don't destroy it, because it's a known fact that you shouldn't mess with Mother Nature. Like this guy just did. He ripped up these trees, and now everything is crumbling down. And God forbid what's going to happen when we have a flood, because the trees aren't there to absorb the rain. And, you know, I really am so discouraged by these names that they say liberals and Democrats or Republicans, and, you know, because, and I'm not saying, I don't consider myself a liberal, I don't consider myself anything. I consider myself a human being that takes that responsibility very seriously. We are here, we are here to protect the earth for everyone that lives on it. So when somebody wants to protect a tree or something, oh, he's a bleeding heart liberal. Oh, he's this. You know, I was campaigning, and you knock on one door, and somebody say, oh, well, if you're a Democrat, well, you got my vote. And I said, well, but I'm not doing this. I'm doing it, you know, can I put a sign on you? No, my wife, she doesn't want it interfering with her lawn decor. Okay, thank you. I'm walking in the town of Kinderhook with the district attorney who is the challenger. And there's a couple, I don't know if they were together or not, and they're walking their dogs. And I say to them, hi, are your dogs registered voters? And the guy turns to me and with a surly attitude, and he says, only if you're a Republican or a conservative, but I can see by your dress that you're neither. And I wanted to say to him, you arrogant bastard, and you call yourself a Republican? Is this what the Republican Party stands for? Mm-hmm. So you truly see the surly side of people who walk around as if, you know, they're the answer to the problems in our country. And as I wrote to Clinton in 1994, back then I told him we had a problem with the police and the society. And I said to him, Mr. Clinton, I wouldn't even call him president because I wouldn't give him that honor. I said, I did not vote for you. I didn't vote for anyone in the last 25 years because I lost my trust, confidence in democracy in America. I said, but you can make the difference. Instead of Democrats and Republicans opposing each other like enemies, come together for the good of the nation. I mean, it's unbelievable. We're fighting each other like we're foreigners or something, we're fighting, terrorists. Or, you know, if we would come together, maybe we wouldn't have a terrorist problem. Maybe if we acted as human beings that really cared for each other, we wouldn't be having these problems. I truly believe we inherit the sins of our fathers, and this is what our children are going to inherit.
Right.
And I said, form a commission to study this problem and incorporate it into our children's school program, because we have to reach kids while they're young, not when they become old and, you know, polarized in their views. And then I tried to get a medal for an honest cop, because there are honest cops out there. And he said, yeah, I'll pass it on. And I thought, the President of the United States is going to pass it on to who? What he meant was, I'll pass on it. Because I said, that's how you have good people come forth. It's like when your dog does something, you reward him. When he does something bad, if he has an accident and you beat him, he's not going to understand that. And it's the same thing when you're trying to punish people who are corrupt. They don't understand. They've been lying to themselves all their lives. My mother said to me, son, never tell a lie. And if you never tell a lie, you will never have to worry about anything. You could go on with your life, and when people ask you something, you give them the answer that you know. Mm-hmm. But if you lie, you'll have to think, what did I say last time? And what did I say the time before that? And that's what's happening with people who go on lying all their lives and really think that they're doing the right thing. They're trying to convince themselves that the lie they're told is really the truth. So this is what we have to do as a race in this world. Come together and try to figure out what the problem is. You know, we have all these people getting Nobel Prizes for peace and whatever. Why doesn't somebody work on it? Get all the children in school, as I said in their program, because children, they're pure. They haven't been corrupted yet. They have answers. They're brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you they will have a solution. But then we need honest politicians to follow up on it.
You know, Frank, I've been watching and participating in politics for many years. And as time goes by, I'm becoming more and more disillusioned. It's not about the greater good. It's about themselves. And it's becoming more and more obvious. And when you're elected, you're going to see a lot. You're going to see people's worst side, human nature's worst side, when you're going to be dealing with the elected officials. You know, and you're one also. It's not going to be a pretty picture.
No, and, you know, I'm not against any of these people I'm running against. You know, I like to consider myself an educator. You know, if people want to learn, you know, if they want to work with me, fine. I don't hold any grudges. But start telling the truth. Tell it like it is. Stop using the town's credit card for servicing your own vehicles. And, you know, stop wasting the taxpayers' money for your own selfish, needs. Realize that a politician or a policeman, his or her job is to serve the community, not to serve their selfish ego.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it is and nowadays.
Well, you know, I went into a local cafe the other day, and I was being interviewed by Newsweek. The article is in Newsweek. And the young lady was doing a very thorough job. And I said, look, this is not about Palladino anymore. This, again, is like what happened to me in the police department wasn't so much my revelations, but what the powers to be did or did not do about my revelations as for what just happened in my town. And so the reporter said to the shopkeeper, do you know Serpico? And, you know, he's running. He said, no. never heard the name. And and I said to him, did you go to school? Yep, he went to college. What did you major in? He said, political science.
Oh, my God.
And he says, and I decided politics was so corrupt, I didn't want to have any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady then said, well, this is Frank Serpico. You know, Pacino, he played him in this movie. And so I had a little card that I'd made up, you know, vote for town council. And I wrote on there, the price that good men pay for their indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And I said, you know who said that? And he said, Pacino? I said, no. Plato. And Plato knew what he was talking about. You know, the price that good people pay for their indifference to politics is to be ruled by people less than themselves. And that's why it's important for people to come out and vote for, in my county, Columbia County, for Ken Golden, and so there could be some hope and maybe get rid of what I call the Columbia County cartel.
Wow. And don't forget to vote for Frank Serpico.
Well, that's only for people in Stuyvesant, so, and
right.
It's really painful because I get letters, as I said, from people who can't even vote for me, but yet they're rooting for me because it's what the name stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And people are hurting. They know what's happening in their community is happening here. And as I said before, these little towns have no oversight, and there's nobody who cares to look in because, you know, it's the training grounds for higher office.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we do something, this poor country of ours, you know, I traveled all over the world when I was younger, and I remembered how people just loved the fact that I was an American. They loved America and everything about it. And today, I wouldn't even mention that I was an American because we're hated the world over. And we have done that to ourselves because we've allowed corrupt politicians to represent us, and that is not who we are.
Mm-hmm. You know, Frank, this has been wonderful. I mean, on a daily basis, I don't come across many people who would pour their heart out like you just said. When you become elected, will you come back and focus on Albany and talk about what it's like to be on the town board and what you are encountering?
I told you before, I'll talk to anyone who wants to listen and wants to print the truth. You know, last night I was at NYU Law School. They were showing the movie Serpico at a film forum. And the moderator said, well, you know, don't start making speeches or getting it. This is just about a movie. And a movie is you know, for entertainment. It's not a documentary. And I said, if you want to make a movie about entertainment, then make it about Mickey Mouse. But when you're talking about a real person, don't alter history. Because people will look at a movie and think, that's what really happened. And I'm talking
right.
In particular where the actor can't get his hand in the door and gets shot, where the real person had his hand in the door and shot the guy that shot him. And then, you know, cops will take that and say, no, that's not what happened, and And then the other thing that Hollywood does, because Hollywood is also guilty of profiling. In the scene, I arrested this burglar who was a top-notch burglar that nobody could catch. And the captain asked me if I could try and catch him. That's when these two other cops turned the corner and started shooting. And that the perpetrator was as white as crackers, as they say. But Hollywood decided no self-respecting white man would be a burglar, so naturally they had to make him a man of color. So even Hollywood, as we know, has been paying disservice to people of color for years on end. And now today under pressure, you know, they're starting to, give in a bit. But the thing is that I say to people, no matter what color you are, don't go by color alone and go by what that person has to offer, and that is their soul. And be true to your soul.
Wow. So you have like about 3 weeks left. Has it been experience for you?
Well, every experience is a good experience if you use it to learn, you know. And this is what I'm doing. I'm learning, and I just had a good friend of mine passed away last night who was suffering, and he was younger than me. I see so many people younger than me passing away, you know, and I have a bird in my head now for over 40 years, and I try to live a clean life, you know, to think pure thoughts and meditate on the good, because there's a lot of good in the world. And the more you think about evil, it's going to take up the thought of goodness that could be in your mind. I'm not saying, you know, ignore it. Be aware of it. And my father's last words to me on his deathbed, he said, "Son, go to sleep now." He said, "You be careful. There are a lot of bad people out there." And I said, "I know, Pop." I said, "But there's a lot of good people, too." And he said, "Yes, but you won't have to worry about them."
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Frank, I have really enjoyed, you know, this interview, and I hope to have you on again. You know, the best of luck in your election, and I hope all the candidates that you are supporting wins also. So I look forward to having you back on again. You've been listening to Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on and allowing, if I could say, the voice of reason to be heard.
You've been listening,
you know, my
to Frank.
Favorite, one of my favorite people was Thomas Paine, the pamphleteer, who died in Greenwich Village, where I lived, in St. Vincent's Infirmary. And he wanted to die in peace, and they wouldn't let him. They said, you know, convert and save your soul. And he believed, and he said, "I am a citizen of the universe. My religion is doing good."
Right.
And that's what I believe. Because by their works you shall know them, and not by their lip service.
Right. Frank, good luck, and we'll talk again.
Thanks, Julia. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome. Bye.